Good afternoon, and welcome to episode of the Full Press NFL Podcast. Your host, Terrence Biggs. With me always is the managing editor of FPC Chiefs, also the social media manager for all things FullPressCoverage.com, Braden Holacek. What's going on, Braden?
I'm doing really well. Great Wednesday here. Like we've mentioned, getting closer and closer to some more action with some NFL news. So it's an exciting time right now.
Agreed. Now, before we jump into our predictions, I want to discuss the franchise tags. Now, when we look at the tags, is there any particular tag that kind of surprised you?
I guess from a pure, I guess, not really having them on my radar perspective. Obviously, it's a little bit different with it being the transition tag than the franchise tag, but I would say the Kyle Duggar move is interesting just because I thought maybe with the regime change, Bill Belichick leaving there, I kind of wondered if they just let him walk for free. But it seems like there's at least still some definite motivation to want to keep him around in that secondary, which is kind of going to be an interesting group to see how that plays out this upcoming season. Hopefully get Christian Gonzalez back, but obviously transition tag a little bit different. If the Patriots don't choose to match any offers, they don't really get any draft pick compensation. So that's kind of an interesting one. I think when you look at the pure franchise tags, I don't know if this one's really surprising, but it's just going to be interesting to see what path this team and player kind of go down. Brian Burns with the Panthers, I think, is one of the more interesting ones just because they've turned down, as we've talked about, I think the other day, a lot of key draft pick compensation and trade proposals for him. But there's been some frustration from him and I think his camp on what really Carolina is kind of viewing him as. So that's going to be one that just to me, nothing would really surprise me at this point if he gets a long-term deal in Carolina, maybe making $25 to $27 million per year, or if he gets traded, and then Carolina tries to maybe get back into the first round in this year's draft.
I guess the one that surprised me most is the Colts non-exclusive franchise tagging Michael Pittman. Pittman is a good receiver. Like, he is solid, catches well, blocks well, but he's just kind of a possession guy. He's not gonna beat you over the top. He's gonna win contested balls just because of his size, but he's not explosive to, I think, merit the number one receiver money. That one's stunned me most. Now, you mentioned the ones, a couple of ones I want to hit on, like Brian Burns. Now, Jalen Johnson is also tagged by the Bears. If you're Jalen Johnson and you're watching kind of your team rebuild, do you want to be there?
I think it kind of depends what happens maybe with the exact quarterback situation. I think it seems like they're probably going to draft Caleb Williams at this point at number one overall. The way things seem currently, I think there's at least some momentum on that defense. How they ended last season, I think Matt Eberflus is, as much as he's still kind of learning in that head coaching role, once he kind of took over play calling duties on defense, you saw that unit improve, and obviously the trade for Montez Sweat was huge. So I don't know, obviously, if it's the most desirable spot right now, but I think the defense, especially in Chicago, built enough momentum last year that in kind of a weaker conference in the NFC, if they can kind of parlay what they ended last season with into a good start in 2024, I don't think it's as dire of a spot as it could be for the Bears.
And when I look at a guy like Josh Allen, the Jags had him. That's the only team he's ever played for in the NFL. He's going to be making $24 million. They also have Trevon Walker on the other side, who was the number one pick in the draft. What kind of deal could they possibly work out with Allen that won't handicap them as far as trying to sign Trevon Walker when his deal's up?
Yeah, it's interesting. I would think Allen will command at least probably 20 to 23 million per season. It's really interesting because he is their best player and he does so much. I think we talked about it on one of the free agency preview episodes of just him being more than just a pure pass rusher, can make the plays in space. Doesn't have the worst I think track record as far as dropping back into coverage as a guy on the edge either. So There's so much that he can do, and Trayvon Walker, to me at this point, I guess I don't really know how much he'll command. So for me, if I'm Jacksonville, I'd be willing to go as far as Allen would go, and make him one of the higher paid defensive ends or outside linebackers in the league.
And when I look at the tags and you look at the players, I've often thought that the franchise tag is only great for teams. Yes, the player gets a guaranteed contract for 1 year, but there's no security after that. Do you, or if you are the head of the players union, would you want to negotiate the next CBA that they take away the franchise tag?
I think so. I think the tag is, when it was first introduced, I think you looked at just maybe some smaller market teams as having the tag as a way to kind of not lose, a star player in the making. I think the thing with football, though, now those small markets aren't, in terms of spending and being able to turn things around quickly into a winner. It's kind of, different than, say, small markets in baseball that really don't always have those same resources as, say, the Dodgers or the Yankees, so to speak. So I think the franchise tag is something that should go away. From the player's perspective, I think the tough thing is I think the fact that you can be tagged multiple times. I think if you keep the franchise tag, I wish it was just a one and done scenario. I think any sport, it's just tough to see some guys being held, maybe not held hostage is the right term, but just held in one place for so long unless they really want to be there. It's kind of tough. So for me, I think if you do away with the franchise tag, I kind of look at it a little bit maybe like restricted free agency. I think offer sheets is something that would maybe make a lot more sense. The ability to still match it if you want. You could maybe still get back some draft pick compensation. I don't know if there's a better, replacement that you have in mind, but the offer sheet kind of thing or idea is something that I've always kind of thought about maybe to replace that.
I agree because it's you hold a guy who wants to maximize his earning potential, and you're paying him an average of the top five, which is not the top, which is not number one. You're potentially holding him from being the highest paid player at his position in the league, and it's a gamble. What if a guy gets hurt while under the tag? Well, his earning potential drops like a stone; it falls to the ground, and I think that the players' union, who is possibly one of the worst run unions in all of sports, needs to kind of dig their heels in and negotiate for the absolution of just anything as far as the offer sheet. Now, when we come back from break, we're gonna have a few predictions for you about where we think certain free agents will go. But that's after a quick timeout. You are listening to the Full Press NFL podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with the Full Press NFL podcast. Terrence Biggs, Braden Holacek. Braden, I'm going to give you a team, and I kind of want your gut feeling where you think this person should go. You ready?
Yep.
Chris Jones, defensive tackle.
Yeah, I guess the first thing I'll say is these predictions are kind of what I think will happen, not necessarily always what I would want to see happen. But yeah, I do think Jones will eventually re-sign with the Chiefs.
I agree. I see Jones possibly staying for 4 years and 120 million. They're going to take care of him because he's been an integral part of winning three Super Bowls. Like you, and he's still young enough where there's a chance they could possibly win a couple more. And the Chiefs are a lot of things. They're not dumb. Like they know who to invest in and who to let go. And I think they will keep Jones around. Now, if we look at Kirk Cousins, I see him as a Falcon. Who do you see him ending up as?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with you with the Falcons. I think there's just compared to the other free agent options out there for quarterback, I know Kirk's coming off an injury, but I think with the pieces you have around Kirk Cousins potentially in Atlanta, Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, I think Kirk elevates you the most there in that scenario. So if I'm Atlanta, I'm trying to probably push really, really hard to land him there. I agree. I think he goes to the Falcons.
And for a late or a mid-round pick, few people have parlayed it into such success where Kirk Cousins hasn't made less than $19 million since 2015. And he's going to sign yet another lucrative contract. It's that Legend of the Bank status where he's a decent quarterback, but he knows his worth, and I gotta definitely respect that. Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, this one's a fascinating one to me because obviously they're dealing with the Jefferson contract situation as well, and how that kind of plays into possibly losing Cousins. But I actually think he's going to re-sign with Minnesota. May not be the most sexy prediction, but I think they're going to try to reward him for the production he's been able to build there in Minnesota.
I think Cleveland might try to give Myles Garrett a bookend where they kind of realize that they need to make some sort of move to separate themselves from the rest of the perhaps one of the toughest divisions in all of football. I just kind of see that happening. Now, you got defensive tackle Leonard Williams, formerly of Seattle.
I'm going to say Leonard Williams ends up with the Cincinnati Bengals. I think we talked about Christian Wilkins landing spots if he were to leave Miami, but I actually like Leonard Williams as an option for the Bengals as well. Can kind of move around that defensive line, but if they don't bring back DJ Reader, I think he's a perfect replacement there for Cincinnati.
I agree. Now, you have a player in this one might be odd, but Russell Wilson.
Oh man, yeah, this one's tough because I've really in my mind I just don't really have a lot of spots where I think he's guaranteed a starting job. But with what we just said about Kirk Cousins and I don't think Chicago, even if they're going to get a better consolation prize, so to speak, in Caleb Williams, I don't think they're going to try to trade within the division. I know Justin Fields to Minnesota's been one landing spot, but I'm going to go with the Vikings for Russell Wilson just because. I think Kevin O'Connell, even if they draft a guy, they can kind of sit and wait him. I know there have been kind of rumored to trade up for JJ McCarthy. You can take your time with the rookie if you go that route. And I think Wilson, for at least one season could be, at least a tantalizing piece inside of that offensive system.
A thought and a team that will probably surprise you and probably annoy some of our listeners, but the Raiders. They have the 13th pick. Chances are every quarterback they want in the first round will be gone, and they might not have a chance to trade up. Then they'll be stuck. But Russell Wilson provides them perhaps a 2 year, maybe three, type of bridge to kind of help Devontae Adams through. He's still a very good receiver, and they need to win now. The players mortgaged any sort of leverage they had with the owner by loudly campaigning for Antonio Pierce. I think Russell Wilson ends up as a Raider, and honestly, I'm kind of okay with that. Next one would be DeAndre Swift.
I'm going to say DeAndre Swift actually goes out west. I think he's going to go to the LA Chargers. I could see the Chargers still drafting a running back. The Jim Harbaugh Blake Corum kind of layup is just seems kind of obvious that it could happen. But I think the Chargers could really redefine that running back room. And I think Swift just showing kind of the somewhat bounce back he had in Philadelphia. I think, the Chargers probably move on from Eckler, and I think Swift could be a really good fit there in LA.
He has that type of dynamic style and ability to catch the ball out of the backfield that Harbaugh really cherishes. And that combination of Corum and Swift will definitely give Justin Herbert the ability to actually not have to deal with so many defenders who are going to drop back. So that'll free up for him. Tyron Smith.
Yeah, I really struggled with this one too, just because of the durability factor. Honestly, I could see Tyron Smith going to maybe the Chiefs to maybe be a stopgap piece till Wanya Morris is completely ready. I don't know if he'd be guaranteed to be the starter all year long just because of, again, the durability stuff, but also with Morris kind of continuing to progress there. But I think just knowing the Chiefs' history with the offensive tackle position, I think they'd much rather have a veteran to lean on if they need to, rather than obviously drafting another young guy to kind of compete for Morris. So I'll say the Chiefs.
Agreed. I think Smith's at the point of career where he has all the accolades he'll ever need as far as awards. He's made a boatload of cash. He's going to chase that ring. Kansas City makes the most sense. And he'll be a 1 or 2 year deal. And let's see. I mean, he can't play as badly as Trent Williams in the Super Bowl. So anything, when you watch a left tackle, be perfect fit. You mentioned him earlier, but DJ Reader, defensive tackle.
I'm going to say DJ Reader actually goes to the Seattle Seahawks. I think new obviously defensive-minded head coach Mike McDonald. They have a lot of young pieces on the edge there, but defensive tackle, especially if you lose Leonard Williams, I think he's going to maybe lean on a veteran piece there. So I'll go with Seattle for DJ Reader.
I think the Cardinals or the Seahawks both need inside help and both have defensive minded head coaches, and they want to somehow be able to carve out a defensive identity, which neither one has had for a couple of years. Chase Young, this is a guy who had one good play in the Super Bowl, but then disappeared.
I'm gonna go with the Indianapolis Colts. I could see them. excuse me. Excuse me. Yeah, I think they could really add around DeForest Buckner there on that defensive line. I think you also kind of look at just how much cap space they have too. I know Chase Young's not gonna bring in probably the biggest contract of all the defensive ends, but if he's still kind of really looking for at least a pretty penny for what he's been able to produce so far, I could see the Colts being willing to give him a second chance, so to speak.
See him going to the Baltimore Ravens because one, a couple of reasons. One, they need another outside pass rush threat. Two, he's not going to cost a lot of money because no one's going to be foolish enough to extend him a long-term deal. And three, he's from Maryland. He's grew up in the Baltimore area, so he's definitely familiar, and he'll be able to kind of just pick up his life and go back home. And it's a low cost, high reward type of deal for the Ravens because the Ravens need something on the outside, and here's one. Patrick Queen, speaking of the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go with the Houston Texans here. I know they got Blake Cashman. They have an interesting group of linebackers there, but this is kind of a guy that I think just kind of feels like a D'Amico Ryans kind of defensive player. No, I know it wasn't always pretty in Baltimore, but I think this past season was at least a good enough contract year for him to where he still showed he could kind of make those plays in space. Be able to shut down both the run, but also cover, if need be. So I'm gonna go Houston Texans.
Here's an odd one because when you look at him, you kind of forget he was the number one pick. But Adoree Jackson.
Wow, yeah, that's a good one. You know what? I'm gonna go with the Raiders on this one. I actually kind of think they could really value his speed. In that building, we know Al Davis would have liked his speed, but I think with what the Raiders are trying to do and how they're trying to match up in their own division, I can see the Raiders being a fit there.
Finish with a trio of running backs. First, we have Saquon Barkley.
Houston is the spot that I've really been probably most excited about for Barkley. I think I just have to stick with that. I think it just makes too much sense. Moving on from Devin Singletary, get a guy that's been able to prove he can be productive at that spot around CJ Stroud. Just trying to make this, I think, as deep of an offense as possible. So I'll go with the Houston Texans.
I actually think that depending on Barkley's frame of mind, if he wants to be petty and perhaps play for a rival, there's a feeling I get that the Eagles are going to be a contender for him. They need a running back. They are losing DeAndre Swift, and how many times can you depend on the old tush push to kind of get tough yards? He makes sense. He knows the division. If the Eagles can somehow get cap right, they might be okay. Josh Jacobs.
I've really struggled with Jacobs as well, just because I don't know how much teams will really be willing to pay him. I kind of keep going back to the Dallas Cowboys though, for Jacobs. I just think his style of play, compared to Barkley, a little bit more tough runner that I think you can grind things in between the tackles and come out victorious. I just think they need kind of that downhill runner to complement that high flying passing attack down the field. So I'll go with Dallas on this one.
I'd go Green Bay. I know it sounds weird, but here's why. They're gonna let AJ Dillon walk. They want Aaron Jones back to take yet another pay cut. And if I'm Aaron Jones, I'm done taking pay cuts for one team. Jacobs is a downhill back. He catches enough of the dump off and swing passes to be a factor. He's not gonna score a touchdown receiving because he never has. But I think that the Packers will make sense. Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry, I feel like maybe this one might be a little too obvious for some people, I guess, depending what you see or listen to it at this point. But the Baltimore Ravens, to me, just seems like a type of move they would make, somebody that isn't necessarily going to be there long term. But I think a team that knows they can still squeeze enough out of them, trying to wear teams down physically. So I think I have to go with the Ravens. To me, it just makes too much sense.
I would go with the. It's funny you mentioned about the Texans a while back. I would go with the Texans. It's another guy who can stay in the division and play for a team on the way up. And I like what D'Amico Ryan's definitely trying to work out. They're trying to figure out there. What's coming up on Full Press Chiefs?
Full press Chiefs, just kind of looking at certain position groups that I think the Chiefs could address, in free agency. Kind of looked at the running back depth behind Isaiah Pacheco with two pending free agents there. Going to be looking at the defensive tackle need as well. We know Chris Jones, possible re-signing or move could be coming soon, but even around Chris Jones, I think defensive tackle is going to be a spot to watch for Kansas City. And then going to be listing probably about 6 to 10 outside free agents on Friday that I could kind of see them really honing in on as far as outside targets to add to their 2024 roster. So those are kind of the next few articles before we really get some moves kicking off next week. And you guys can follow me on Twitter or X at Braden Holacek 9, BradenHolecek, and the number 9 at the end. Also follow at FPC underscore Chiefs. And at Full Press NFL, we'll have you guys covered here in the next busy days.
For the Raiders, we're going to have a post-combine mock draft where I look at it and see what makes the most fits because I really think that the quarterbacks are going to be gone and the Raiders may not have enough draft capital to be able to jump up. You can follow me at Tequila Biggs. You can follow all of our work on fullpresscoverage.com. For Braden Holacek, Terrence Biggs, this has been another episode of the Full Press NFL Podcast.